From the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus saw the crowds. He went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake.
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
In March 1965, after Dr. King called upon clergy from across America to come to Alabama after the Edmund Pettus Bridge beatings, a young northern minister named James Reeb came and was killed on the streets of Selma. Afterward, in a sermon given in Marsh Chapel at Boston University, Dr. King's mentor, Howard Thurman, memorialized Reverend Reeb, saying the following of those who felled the young minister: "The men who struck Reverend Reeb down did not know him. They only knew one thing, that he was a white American like them, and his presence in their midst on such a mission as his was a bitter judgment upon them and the angry world of fear and hate in which they were born and bred. To strike him down was their way to try to purge themselves of their own agony and to affirm their distortion, that the Negro in their midst was a thing, a body, but not a man and person, even as they. One has only to substitute the word undocumented for Negro and the name Alex Pretty for James Reeb, and we know that the same agonized forces of fear and hate that killed on the streets of Selma in 1965 killed again on the streets of Minneapolis just last week. Once again, it was a white man who lost his life. And once again, he died because he was standing up for the personhood and dignity of other people. Be assured, Alex Preti did not die simply because he was armed. For millions of Americans are armed every day. Alex Preti died rather for the same reason James Reeb died. He died for the same reason Renee Good died. It was the same reason why in that same March of 1965, Viola Luzzo died. And going way, way, way back, it was the same reason why the first casualty in America's first Civil War, Crispus Attucks, died also. They each and every one died because they did something to confront and provoke power with personhood. And when provoked, power, raw and unrestrained, always acts out on the worst of its most dangerous and demonic of impulses. By all accounts that do count, Alex Preti was an all-around good guy. No, he was not perfect. He got angry. But it was injustice that made him angry. Injustice made Jesus angry also. And injustice should make us angry as well. Yet let it be clear. Alex Preti was not killed because of his darkness. He was killed rather because of his light. Alex Preti was a bright, shining light in a dark and disturbing world, and in the end, that is the real reason that he died. He died because, as St. John says, darkness hates the light, and it will do anything that it can to keep its evil from being exposed by the light. So it was that Alex Preti was shot dead on the streets of Minneapolis, Minnesota, not firstly because he had a firearm behind his back, but chiefly because he had a cell phone in his hand. The light of that cell phone camera was exposing the darkness of this sin-sick country. And that is why he died. What happened to Mr. Preti has shocked our country. And it has opened the eyes of many white people to suddenly see what the souls and bodies of most black and brown folk have known for generations. We are not safe in America. Our government is hostile to its own people. And it is lying to its own people also. The tactics of terror and domination are being deployed in the communities across our country. And the guarantees of due process of law, protected freedom of speech, liberty of peaceable assembly, and even the right to bear arms are all now in absolute jeopardy. Citizens' civil rights are being violated in the United States every single day. And the basic human rights of non-citizens, even more so. The United Nations Universal Declaration says, first, everyone has the right to seek and to enjoy in other countries asylum from persecution. And secondly, no one should be subjected to arbitrary arrest, detention, or exile. The United States is betraying these basic commitments of international law. Not only by malignant neglect, but even worse, by malicious will. Sure, since Mr. Preti's death, there has been talk of some de-escalation and relocation and reorganization. But believe me, beloved, there is no plan for any real reform by this administration. And to prove this, I need only to point to the fact that the Department of Homeland Security just purchased a 1 million square foot warehouse here in North Texas, where the stated purpose is confining and detaining undocumented people. This should horrify us all, and we should all be warned and beware. For there are many more operations being planned and arrests being plotted right this very moment, even on a Sunday. So no, we will not be pacified by mere changes in the tone of terror and the venue of invasion. Nor will we sleep peacefully until the system of state-sponsored oppression is completely and fully dismantled. And the agents behind the masks and the office holders behind the agents are finally made accountable. This occupation must end. Due process must be restored. Arrest and detention and deportation should be rare and reserved only for real criminals. And the impunity granted to federal agents and office holders should be universally revoked. Moreover, ICE must be completely and permanently defunded and dissolved. And the Office of the President of the United States must finally be made accountable by the courts and by the Congress. Yes, I know looking to Congress to help may seem pretty desperate. But as a minister of the gospel, I do still believe in God's miracles. And even as a Baptist, I can still pray Hail Marys. And also I know that if the legislative and judicial branches do not act to hold the executive accountable, then this country is going to fall farther and farther into chaos and conflict, and there will be more domination and more dissent, and it will all be a disaster. So yes, we do have to pray, and we also have to act. For if a disaster in this country is to be averted, then it is we the people who have to demand a change of course and demand it right now. It's the cities in the north and in California who have been subject to the most aggressive attacks. But we here in the South can't afford to say to ourselves any longer, well, if we just keep our heads down and don't say anything, then maybe it won't happen here. Beloved, haven't we heard injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere? And besides, harm is already happening here. They're building camps right here. They're tearing families apart right here. They're hurting our own people right here. Our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, members of our own beloved Broadway Baptist Church, kindred whom we have pledged to be family of faith to, are being betrayed right now by this country, right here. And even more, members of our human family. Our human family are being hurt and harmed and disappeared and denied due process and detained and deported and God knows what else right here, right down in Texas. So no, we can't afford to be silent and we can't afford to not speak. We can't afford to not stand up. Scholars of the Holocaust and other events of human atrocity speak of bystanders and upstanders. Let me tell you, Alex Preddy was no mere bystander. He was an upstander. He stood up for what was right. He stood up for what was decent. He stood up for what is human. We must stand up with him. We must, beloved, stand up for him. If not now, when? Because tomorrow could be too late. Tomorrow could be too late for this, our beloved country. A year and a half ago, a Broadway mission team visiting a Mexican border town met a little boy named Miguel, who had walked 12 South and Central American countries to seek asylum here in the United States. He and his father were stuck on the other side of the border waiting for an appointment with Customs and Border Patrol. Of course, all of us adults knew the border was about to be closed, and all those who were seeking asylum would be denied. And we also knew that with a change of administration, even those who were admitted under conditions of asylum now were going to be at risk of deportation later. So it broke our hearts. It broke our hearts when little Miguel asked us innocently in his native Spanish, "America es bella?" Is America beautiful? No, I would have to say, America is not very beautiful right now. It is not very pretty. It is not very good. It is ugly right now. And much of what it is doing, well, frankly, is evil. Still, there are beautiful people here in America. There are beautiful people who are standing up for one another, and there are beautiful people who are rising up for one another. And we have seen them on the streets of Minneapolis and in the courts around our country and in the community center here at Broadway. And on Friday, we saw them in the high schools and even middle schools of our own city, where young people led a walkout protest for the abolition of ICE. When I saw them walking around our near Southside neighborhood on Friday, I thought to myself of God, of this gospel lesson, where it says, in seeing the crowds, and seeing the crowds, Jesus said unto them, beautiful are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they. And pretty are they. And good are they. Blessed and good and pretty and beautiful are they who hunger and thirst and stand up for justice. For they will be filled, and theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one true God, mother of us all around the world, and all of God's people say,